And Amanda, if you would, come and lead us. Thank you.
Know this, my beloved brothers. Let every person be quick to hear, slow to speak, slow to anger. The anger of man does not produce the righteousness of God. Therefore, put away all filthiness and rampant wickedness, and receive with meekness the implanted word, which is able to save your souls. But be doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. For if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like a man who looks intently at his natural face in a mirror, for he looks at himself and goes away and at once forgets what he was like. But the one who looks into the perfect law, the law of liberty, and perseveres, being no hearer who forgets, but a doer who acts, he will be blessed in the doing. If anyone thinks he is religious and does not bridle his tongue, but deceives his heart, this person's religion is worthless. Religion that is pure and undefiled before God the Father is this: to visit orphans and widows in their affliction, and to keep oneself unstained from the world. This is the word of the Lord.
Amen. Go ahead and be seated. I was reading. You may have heard me tell this story before. It's one of my most favorite stories of mothers. Susanna Wesley. Susanna Wesley is the mother of John and Charles Wesley. That's who she's most famously known as. She had 19 children. 9 of them died in childbirth. At any one point, she would have anywhere between 10 and 8 children in her home. Very, very small home. Her husband was a pastor, an itinerant pastor who traveled around. And her children tell the story, her John and Charles. If you don't know John and Charles, they're responsible. They are the ones who began their itinerant ministry of what today is known as Methodism. They love famous pastors, evangelists, hymn writers. I'm sad to say that it's changed in those ways today in some ways. But they write and say this, that they knew that their mom every morning was with the Lord because their house was so small that she would take a stool, and in their kitchen they would see her apron draped over her head. And when her apron was draped over their head, they knew that mom was with Jesus. She was talking to him. That type of faith made a lasting imprint and a lasting impression. It was one that the Word of God dwelled richly in her, and it affected that household. We've been in the book of James, and we're finishing up chapter 1 today. We've been talking about what it means. The title of the series is called Proof, and we've been talking about what it looks like to have our faith and our work, our confession and our profession in line with our plumb, to where what we have confessed, Jesus, I need you as my Lord and Savior. I can't do this. I need, my faith is in you now. Then your public profession of how you live that out, they line up. Some say they have faith, some say they have works. Listen, if you have faith and you don't have works, you say something but you don't live that out, there's no proof. If you say, if you do all these good things, but you don't confess that these good things belong to Jesus Christ, there may not be faith there. And what James is wanting to speak to us is that our faith and our works should line up. We should be true, not deceiving ourselves by saying one thing or thinking one thing, but living something completely different. Do you remember last week, if you're new here and you haven't been along with us, you can see the messages online. You'll want to go back. Last week, we talked about how we choose to sin. God sends trials to our lives, and He allows these trials in our life. They produce tests. They become testing. The enemy who will come to speak lies to us, and that we can believe his lies. And if we believe his lies and we fall to temptation, we're choosing to sin. He didn't make us sin. We chose to sin. Well, we've talked about trials. We've talked about temptation. Today, what we're going to spend a little bit of time on is, what does true religion really look like? What does it look like? This whole thing comes out of verses 26 and 27. I want you to hold it there, but we're going to get there because true religion is a proof. There are proofs that we truly do follow the Lord. There are some proofs, and they begin in verse 19. So if you're a note taker, if you're thumbing notes, or you're highlighting, whatever it is, I want you to take this statement down. True religion receives the word humbly. True religion receives the word humbly. Verses 19 and 20 say this: Know this, my beloved brothers. James is writing to Jewish believers who've been scattered all across the Roman world because of persecution, scattered, persecuted, and poor. That's who they were. And he says, know this, my beloved brothers, let every person be quick to hear, slow to speak, slow to anger. For the anger of man does not produce the righteousness of God. He gives three real quick proofs of our life being lined up. Look at what they are there in verse 19. He says, you are quick to hear, you are slow to speak, and you're slow to anger. Have you heard it said before? You probably have, that God gave you one mouth and two ears. You have heard it before. Listen, you know what I end up, just to be real honest with you, breaking this and falling in this area so often. I am not slow to speak. I'm usually quick to speak and less to hear. I don't hear real well. You know what ends up happening to me? Maybe this happens to you. I end up hearing the wrong things. I'm in the middle of a conversation and I'm already thinking about what I want to say in response to something. And what I realize is when they speak back to me, and here's the worst, it's usually the people that are closest to you. It's either your family, maybe even the people you work closest with. They're speaking something and I'm not hearing because I'm worried about speaking. And when I'm worried about speaking, many times what I'm doing is I get defensive and I start speaking things that I'm really not hearing. I'm addressing things that wasn't said. Why are all the ladies shaking their heads in the room and poking their husbands? Why is this happening? You know, what ends up happening is that I'm addressing something that wasn't even said. They didn't mean what they were saying. And when I say they didn't mean it, because I heard it wrong. I was so quick to want to speak to something. The only thing quicker than my speaking is my heart to defend my own desires, my own actions, my own way, and my own plans. Maybe you've experienced this. And James says this. James says that one of the proofs is that we're quick to hear. We're quick to hear. We're slow to speak. We're slow to speak. And as a result, then we're slow to anger. We're slow to anger. You know, Proverbs chapter 18, verse 13 says it's to the fool, it's foolish and shameful to reply to something before you've heard it out. You get too quick. You're going to jump in. And what you've done is it says more about you. And what ends up happening is that we're responding and arguing over our desires. And that's not been said. And notice what it says here in verse 20. He says, when this happens, for the anger of man does not produce the righteousness of God. Now, for those of you who know the good news, you know the gospel. I want to be really clear here. We cannot produce our righteousness before God. That is something that is given to us. Okay? What he's saying here is that our lives and our actions aren't in accordance to the righteousness of God. The only way that I am right as a follower of Jesus Christ is because Jesus Christ came and perfectly lived the law of God. He was sinless. He was perfection. He died on a cross. You hear me say this all the time, every week. I don't want us to ever forget it. He died on a cross. He was put in a grave. 3 days later, he arose again. Today, he's at the right hand of the Father. And because my eyes were opened by the Holy Spirit when I was dead in my trespasses and sin, the Holy Spirit now is alive in my life. Amen. All of this is what the gospel is all about. And because the Holy Spirit is now alive in my life, I have an opportunity to either stand fast, steadfast, be constant, be immovable, and not be quick to speak, to be slow to speak. Or I can have my own way, have my own desires, have my own plans. You see, my righteousness comes because of Jesus' death and resurrection. He has given it to me. He has given it to me. I don't produce it. But because he is alive in my heart, the Holy Spirit, I now should live in accordance with that. And this is what James says. And James says, listen, when you are quick to anger, well, he says to be slow to anger, but he's emphasizing that when we are quick to speak, it leads to anger. This is what he's wanting us to see. Notice what he says in verse 21. Verse 21, he says, therefore, put away. Put away. Notice what he says, put away. All filthiness and rampant wickedness. Now, I want to stop right there. Keep 21 on the screen. I want to stop right there because you cannot get away that he is connecting right here in this passage our anger with filthiness and wickedness. Do you catch that? When I am quick to speak, to defend my way, get defensive, want my desires, my way, that my anger eventually, because it does not produce the righteousness of God, it produces filth and wickedness. This is what my anger, when I am not quick. Now then, so what is it that he's wanting us to do? Notice what he's wanting us to do in at the end of 21. He says, therefore, put away all filthiness and rampant wickedness and receive, catch this, receive with meekness the implanted word which is able to save your souls. To receive with meekness the implanted word. He's giving us a picture of planting. And this word receive in the original language of the New Testament, which is Greek, it has the connotation, the picture of hospitality. It has the picture of hospitality. So he's mixing some stories here, some pictures. Something's going off up here and it's going to drive me crazy. How about that? We'll see if that works. It was the off button or the sound button. So here's the picture of what he does, all right? Here's the picture of what he does. He says that we're to receive hospitably the word of God. That's, guys, ladies at home, if someone comes to your door and you know they ring the doorbell, you no longer go and look through the little peephole or check the windows. Most of us, we check our Ring app, don't we? We check, you see the video, you want to find out, do I really want to let this person in? Maybe it's someone that you know. You go to the door, you open the door, and you see them, and the picture is, it's the receiving is of a handshake that is out. That when you shake their hand and then you draw them close to you, that would be a picture of me. I'm a hugger. It gets me in trouble sometimes. People don't like to be close like that. But I'm going to shake your hand. I'm going to pull you in and give you a hug. I want to be hospitable to you. This is what he is saying. This is what James is saying. James says, you want to put away all of this filthiness? You want to put away all of this wickedness? He's using anger as the lowest common denominator for us, but it could be any other sin that you would like to put in there that doesn't line up with our confession. Our profession doesn't line up with our confession. And he says, well, you want to get through that? Then receive. Be hospitable, be humble, and receive the word. And then he says, the implanted word. We're in the middle of planting season. I don't know if you got any gardeners or any people who like to plant flowers and those types of things. This is the time to do it right now. In fact, you may have come pretty close to missing the window on some things. Whether it's a seed, a sapling, a small plant, you're going to go dig the soil and you're going to stick it in. You're going to make sure that it's taken care of. You're going to pack the dirt around it so that the soil will receive the plant. The picture, if you're not catching this, the picture is as a follower of Jesus, the Holy Spirit alive in me, I'm receiving the word of God. Which means it's possible for us to sit in a room like this, to get up in the morning, before we go to bed, whatever it is, and read the word and read words on a paper and not receive it, not let it be implanted into our life. You know what happens to a seed that's been implanted or a sapling that's been implanted, a small plant that's been implanted and nurtured and cared for? You know what it just does naturally? Blooms. It gives fruit. Some of you are thinking, "Not you hadn't seen my plants." Listen, there is a human element to it. I get it. But you know what it's going to do? It's going to produce fruit. And when we receive the word of God, when we hospitably and humbly let it be planted into our life, it's going to bear fruit. When the fruit begins to bear, we have an opportunity. Remember James chapter, the beginning of James? There's, with every great gift that comes, there's a trial. And in that trial, that's going to be tested, and you either get to pass the test or you're going to fall to temptation. But you get to decide. Thanks be to God. Now, I want to make sure you hear me. I fail often in those tests. I fail often in those tests. But thanks be to God that there is one who never failed any test put before him. It's Jesus. He lived perfectly. And because of his righteousness given to me, when I gave him my sin, I got his righteousness. And because of that, I'm now free to not try to live the law perfectly because he's done that on my behalf. Today, some of you today think you can never live up to, and mom, dad, this person, that person, I'm never going to be able to measure up. Do you know what? None of us can ever measure up to the Lord Jesus. Thanks be to God. He took care of that for us on the cross. And today, we get to get in on the grace of God, even when we're called to receive the word humbly. When we don't follow it, he convicts us. We come to him and we say, Lord Jesus, forgive me. My public witness didn't line up with who I say I follow. Forgive me. Thank you that you have forgiven me. Thank you. I repent. I want to follow you. And then the next thing that I do is I usually have to go to those folks and say, man, I'm so sorry. Well, the way I responded to you, the thing I said, the thing I did, the thing I didn't do, will you forgive me? I'm so sorry. Will you forgive me? Do you know what that is? That's the implanted word working out the fruit. Even when we don't live up to it, our response to the conviction of the Holy Spirit who's alive in your life, when you follow what the word says and do what it says, that's bearing fruit. If there is no fruit in your life and you say you follow Jesus Christ, there probably is no faith in your life. I don't mean that sarcastically. I don't mean that condescendingly. It's just a statement of fact. It may be that you are a follower of Jesus, truly a follower of Jesus, and there's not any fruit happening. I would say to you then, probably you're not receiving the word of God humbly and allowing it to be implanted into your life. Because a proof that our public life matches our private confession is this, that we receive the word. It's implanted and it bears fruit. Here's the second thing quickly that I want you to see is this. Not only does true religion receive the word, it responds to the word obediently. True religion responds to the word obediently. Look at verses 22 through 25. But be doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. For if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is a man who looks intently at his natural face in the mirror, for he looks at himself and goes away and at once forgets what he looks like. But the one who looks into the perfect law, the law of liberty, and perseveres, being no hearer who forgets, but a doer who acts, he will be blessed in his doing. In his doing. You have a pen and a piece of paper there. You got a Bible. I don't know if you like to mark in your Bibles. Maybe you highlight them if you're on a digital tablet. Five times in the verses that we've read, there is something about the word. The word is central. Notice in verse 21, he talks about the implanted word. In verses 22 and 23, twice he talks about the word, being a doer of the word, not just a hearer of the word. In verses 25, he talks about the perfect law and the law of liberty. If there's anything around here that you're going to hear over and over and over, it is the drum that we beat. If you hear that bass kick drum, boom, boom, boom. I want it to reverberate. Is this the only way that we find life in Christ, eternal life and abundant life, is in the Word of God. This is it. This is it. Do you know how we know the living Word of God, Jesus Christ, is through His written Word. He gave us His written Word so that we might know His living Word. And it is sharp. It is sharp. It judge our spirits. It judge our motives. It points light to where we need to go. It is a light on my path. It's a lamp to my feet. It tastes sweet. The Word of God, when we don't meet with the Word of God, we don't sit with it, we don't listen to Him, it's like suffocating. We need oxygen, and there's oxygen right there, but we think, I got it. Listen, some of you may be thinking, because you are Bible students, wait a minute, I thought the law brought death. The law was our tutor, Paul says in Romans. He said it's to help us to know that we can't do it, and we need someone who can fulfill it. That was Jesus. And you know what he now says? This is the perfect law. Remember last week, he said every good and perfect gift. Do you know what the perfect gift he's given us? The perfect law. His word. The law of liberty. What the law once did was to bind us. Do you know what the law has done now? It has freed us so that we can live for Christ. Freed us. What we couldn't do, Christ did. So now then, we're free to live it. Even when I fail, I get to, God, I love you. I want your word. I want to hear it. I want to receive it. And when you receive it, now we're called to obey it. To do what he's told us to do. Mamas and daddies in here, you do whatever you can to get your children to obey what you want them to do. You do whatever you can. Because you know that what you're asking them to do is meant to be life. It's life-giving. They view it as being constraining. It's constraining. But we know when we're giving something to our children, we do it because we want you to live. We want you to flourish. This is the exact same thing we have with the Word of God. And we've been called to be quick to listen. Listen to the Word of God. Humbly receive it. Meekly receive it. It's been implanted in you. No, he's going to change his metaphor here again. James is given all these pictures. He's given planting pictures. He's been giving all these different things. Now he's going to turn and he's going to talk about a mirror. Look at verses 23 and 24. Verses 23 and 24, he says, If anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like a man who looks intently at his natural face in a mirror. For he looks at himself and he goes away, and at once he forgets what he looks like. Can I cut to the chase here for just a moment? What he's saying to us is this, is that it is possible for you to get up. I don't know if it's you or not, but it's possible for you to get up and spend your days reading the Word of God. You may say, man, I read every morning for an hour, hour and a half. I read in the night, hour, hour and a half. Man, I'm listening to the Word of God. But there may never be any fruit because you're not allowing the Word of God to change you. He's saying, listen, you go to any gym, especially if it's one of these gyms where there's a lot, where guys are working out, and there's mirrors everywhere, aren't there? Mirrors everywhere. And you always, it's like they're steady just looking at themselves, looking in the mirror. And you would think, I got it. I know what I look like. But they're going to move to the next set and they're going to keep looking at their mirror. They're going to flex. They're going to stand. They're going to pose down. They're going to be looking. How do I look compared to that person? And then they're going to go and they're going to go to the next mirror. And it's not like I just saw the same person over here. Ladies, you laugh. But hey, you go to the, Amy and I do a lot of things together. And many times we'll go to stores and I'll drop her off. And I'll sit in the car because I'm tired. You say, are y'all really doing something together? Well, yeah, I've already walked to the rest of the stores with her. Take her to this one. I'm going to sit in the car. And I like to watch people. And here's what I see a lot of times. Ladies have these things in their purses. I think they're called compacts. And they'll open them up and they'll look at it. And they'll dab a little bit and they'll close it and put it away. And the next thing you see them do is they look in the rearview mirror. Like what I saw here didn't match here. Check, make sure. They get out, they close the door. And those tinted windows, you know what you can see in tinted windows? Yourself. So you look at the tinted window. I'm laughing while I'm watching it. Like what I saw in the other two mirrors is not any different than that one right there. This is exactly what James is telling us. He says, you look at the word, you're reading the word, but you're just reading words on the paper. You're not receiving the word. It's not being implanted, because if you receive it humbly, hospitably, and it is implanted deep in you, you know what it's going to do? It's going to bear fruit. And when it bears fruit, people around you are going to notice. I have conversations with new believers often, and they get kind of frustrated because they think, I'm doing this. Man, listen, I've trusted Jesus, and I know. I was there with them. They trusted Jesus. They're baptized. We're talking about reading the Word. They're reading the Word, and they start getting frustrated because they think, oh, if I do this, then this is going to happen. If I do A, then B is going to happen. It's going to happen like that. And I have to help them to understand, no, this is progressively. You know, your heart is changed instantaneous. But the walking out and the sanctifying, becoming more like Christ, it's a process. The more you do it, you may not be seeing it, but I can tell you this, the people around you are noticing. They're noticing. Folks, when you receive the word, it's planted deep in you. Because of the power of the Holy Spirit, and you begin to see it bear fruit. When you're about to say something that you're not supposed to say, to the one person you know I shouldn't say it to, and I do it. Maybe you're there. And I do it. And the Spirit reveals something to me. At that moment, it's an opportunity for the Spirit to bear fruit in my life, for me to respond and say, I did it. Forgive me. You may go, I don't like that fruit. I don't either. You know what would have been better fruit? For me not to do it anyway. When the Spirit gave me the opportunity. But I fell to temptation. I wanted my own desires, my own way. I wasn't quick to listen. And I spoke in anger. And it led to death in our relationship. You know, several years ago, it's probably been 10 years ago now, I was in a quiet time. And the Lord convicted me with this passage. That there had been a series of people that I had spoken to that was horrible. It's one of those times where the Lord just set on me. Maybe you've been there. Tears. I mean, it was true conviction. And these were people that I had talked to probably 10 years prior. And I began to just make a list. I didn't want to, but the Lord wouldn't let me get away from it. I had to make a list, and I began to call them and ask to meet with them. I'm sorry. Will you forgive me? What are you talking about? And I would remind them. I don't really remember. Well, it happened because I remember, and I need you to forgive me. You're forgiven. Do you know what the fruit that was born out of that in my life? The fruit that was born out of in their life. It was a bitter, bitter time. But out of obedience, it shows, Lord, I want to obey. You have these opportunities. You know them. Because if you are surrendered and follow Jesus Christ, the Holy Spirit alive in you, He's going to convict each one of us. Because you know what His job is to remind us, hey, this is what Jesus said. He's to guide us into all truth. He's there to help us to hear the word and allow it to bear fruit in our life. You may be sitting there thinking, Kyle, you're making this way too simple. Well, I want to say this. This isn't rocket science. It is very simple. It's very simple. It's hard to do. It's probably the hardest thing we'll ever do. But it is pretty simple. You see, we like to try to overcomplicate things. What the Bible says to do, you know what we should do? What the Bible says to do. That's bearing fruit in our life. That's receiving the word humbly. It being implanted. That's us walking it out obediently. And when we do those things, do you realize that God is most glorified in those moments? He's glorified in your life. The very first place this is lived out is in your home. The very first place this is lived out is in your home. Billy Graham once has been quoted as saying, and I believe that he's written it in one of his family books, one of his books on the family, is that the hardest place to be a Christian is in your own home. Because they know us the best. They see us at our worst. Folks, the very first place that we begin to live this out is in our home. Quickly, look at verses 26 and 27, and I'm not going to spend much time here because I'm going to be preaching on these things for the next couple of weeks. But notice what he says here. He says, if anyone thinks he is religious, this is an adjective. If I think that I'm religious, this is the way I would describe myself. He says, but if you think you're religious and you don't bridle your tongue, you deceive your heart. Do you know this is the third time he said, you deceive yourself? Do you know what's worse than deceiving someone else, and that's pretty bad, is lying to yourself. You think you got it, and you don't. You're saying this is who I am, but there's nothing that lines up. And this is what he says to us right here. He says, if anyone thinks he's religious and does not bridle his tongue but deceives his heart, this person's religion is worthless. Religion that is pure and undefiled before God the Father is this, to visit orphans and widows in their affliction and to keep oneself unstained from the world. He says three things there. He says you need to bridle your tongue. He says if you say this is who I am, but you fly off, it's unbridled, it's worthless. It's worthless. That strikes me at the heart. I'll just be real honest with you. Strikes me at the heart. He says true religion, you can handle your tongue. You visit widows and orphans. He means the vulnerable. They were the most vulnerable of their day, because there was no man to protect them in the male-dominated society. So these widows and orphans, who's gonna protect me? Who's gonna vie for me? Who's gonna advocate for me? And to keep oneself unstained from the world. Do you know what he's just laid out right here? He's laid out next week in chapter 2, we're gonna talk about mercy ministry. The vulnerable. Chapter 2 is what this is all about. In chapter 3, you know what he's gonna do? He's just gonna scratch the scab of the tongue. Sounds nasty, doesn't it? I meant it that way. Because our tongue, you're going to see in chapter 3 how damaging it is. The small thing, and yet how damaging it is. And you know what's going to happen in chapter 4 and 5? He's going to talk about what it looks like to have holy living. You know what true religion looks like? Getting in the Word. Receiving it. Letting it be planted in our life. Birthing forth fruit. There's a visible difference because of what's been planted inside. You realize that whatever's inside will eventually come out. That's all the way through the Scripture. It's everywhere in Scripture. This is why we're to guard our heart above all else. For from it flow the springs of life. So what is planted in your heart? What have you received with hospitality into your life? Is it the Word of God? Man, that's what I want for us. And when you receive it, it's going to burst forth. And then we live that out. Today, the Lord Jesus has brought some of you here today, and there's no fruit in your life because there's no faith in your life. That doesn't mean you don't do good things. But when we do good things without Christ, it's all the glory terminates on us. Oh, you look good. The Scripture tells us that when the Lord is in our life and the good things that happen, the fruit that's born, it gives glory to Him. Today, there's no fruit in your life, maybe. It's because there's no faith in your life. Today, I want to invite you to know Christ, to come to Him. This gospel that I spoke about earlier, about Jesus coming and dying, I believe it with all of my life. And I want it for you. But I can't do that for you. You have to surrender your life to Christ. I'd love to talk to you about that. You've been prayed for already this morning. Maybe today, moms, can I give you a little quick application point here? Just feet on the ground for a moment. You know, this is Foster Awareness Month. And ladies, I know children mean the world to you. They do to us also, but there's something about men, about women, that the Lord just shapes you for children. And I want to know, man, we got so many opportunities. If you were to go out the door and to the right in the Go Center, there's a little sheet that looks like this. There's ways to get involved in our foster system. We have men and women in this room right here are foster parents. We can donate clothes to the Shepherd's Closet. There are ways we can be involved with DCS. Do you know that's a very difficult ministry, very difficult work? Not ministry, it's a work. But it's opportunities for us to be involved in witnessing and sharing with them. There are ways when young people at age 18 age out of DCS, do you know where most of them end up? In jail. They end up back in some sort of governmental situation. There's a way for us to be able to step into their lives, to help them. I want to make that offer to you. Men, can I give you a very practical thing? Ladies, it's for you also, but men specifically, be quiet. Be slow to speak. Be quick to listen. Because when we listen, we begin to understand and then we respond appropriately. That's letting the word dwell richly in us. For all of us, the word implanted in our lives, it will change you. It will change you. The Holy Spirit alive in you will see to it. Let's pray. Father, I love you. I'm so thankful for this day. I'm thankful for these moms. I'm thankful for families. I'm thankful for children. And God, every one of us in here owe our existence and our natural birth to a mom. And so, Father, I pray that today you would give us a love for our mothers that is beyond anything that we know. Even in the midst of difficult, difficult mother relationships, God, I'm asking you today, would you save people in this room? And it's in the name of Jesus I ask these things. Amen. I'm going to ask around the room, would you stand?